Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you guys are joining us today. For today's podcast on this Mother's Day Sunday, Pastor Angela Waite teaches a message entitled, Are You My Mother? Prepare your hearts for an encouraging and powerful word from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, Proverbs 31:28 declares this, her children rise and call her blessed. Her children rise and call her blessed. A friend was recently telling me a story about putting, thank you, Pastor Angela, about putting her children in bed. And she said she heard this kaboom, and she went running up the stairs, and sure enough, there was a dark shadow in the hallway. And she leaned over and she said, get yourself in that bed right now. You know, in her mommy voice. And nothing moved. She was talking to the vacuum cleaner. 10 things my mother taught me. She taught me religion. You better pray that nail polish comes out of the carpet. She taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. Anybody ever heard that? She taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. She taught me contortionism. Look at that dirt on the back of your neck. Anybody else? She taught me about stamina. You will sit here until you finish that plate. She taught me about weather. Your room looks like a cyclone went through it. She taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting just like your father. She taught me about anticipation. Just wait until I get you home. She taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. And my favorite, she taught me about justice. One day you're going to have children, and I pray they act just like you do. Ouch. Am I the only one that heard these? Has anybody in the room ever said these? Good, good. Okay, top 10 job titles that a mother holds on any given day. You ready? Taxi driver and do not expect a tip. Bedwetter patrol. Teacher specializing in nursery rhymes, ABCs, 1-2-3s. Champion tickler. No thumb sucking enforcer. Scary monster patrol enforcer. Boo boo fixer. Speech therapist. Seamstress of frilly gowns and superhero costumes. And finally, head cheerleader for all. That is us. Amen. 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 You know, Mother's Day can be a wonderful day. For moms, for women, a day of celebration and a day of honor and a day of love. It has been officially celebrated for over 100 years. Marie Jarvis' mother passed away in 1905. She wanted to do something to honor her mother. So in 1907, the first Mother's Day service actually took place. By 1914, the United States Congress had officially designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Mother's Day actually began as a result of a broken heart. Something interesting to ponder this morning. You may be here this morning wishing that you could have stayed in bed. I believe the Lord has given me a specific word for you today. I am very aware of the sensitivity of Mother's Day. Some of us, our Mother's Day is not celebratory. Some of us, it is a reminder of a broken heart. For some of us, we have buried our mothers prematurely. But I believe the Lord has given me a word specifically for you today, ladies. Specifically for you today. So if you this morning are a female, I want you to stand to your feet, regardless of your age. All the ladies, stand to your feet. Look around, ladies. Now, I want you to look at the lady that's the closest to you, and I want you to say this. Are you my mother? Ladies, I honor you today. I honor you today. You may be seated. By the way, where's my backdrop, guys? I have this amazing design. Josh, guys, help me out. Are you my mother? How lovely is that? Thank you, Pastor Josh. I want to give you two definitions this morning of a mother. Here's the first. A mother is a woman who conceives, gives birth, raises, and nurtures a child, watch this, or someone else. A mother is a woman who conceives, gives birth, raises, and nurtures a child or someone else. I see you, Kim. Here's the second. Are you ready? A mother is a female parent or a woman, stay with me, having the status, the function, or the authority of a female parent. Did you hear that? Having the authority, the function, or the status of a female parent. Tends to and raises. From the book of Genesis, I want to introduce you to Eve, the mother of all living, Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, Sarah, the mother of Isaac, Rebekah, the mother of Esau and Jacob, and Rachel, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. And then in Exodus, we meet Jochebed, the mother of Moses. 1 Samuel introduces us to Hannah, the mother of Samuel. From the Gospel of Luke, we meet Elizabeth, the mother of John, and Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. All these women have one thing in common. They're all mothers by natural means. They're mothers by natural means. They have conceived and birthed naturally children. Could you hand me my phone? This morning, I was going through Facebook, and I have been an emotional mess. Has anybody been on Facebook this morning? All the love, it should be in the side, honey. All the love that has been shown to mothers. Rachel, pull up Josh Hudson. We're good, Jay. Never mind. So I'm looking, my husband rocks. It's probably in the other bag. I dropped the ball, okay? It's my fault. I'm not going to let you be sad today on Mother's Day. Can you tell? Not going to happen. So this morning, I'm looking through Facebook, and honestly, I am wrecked by all the love that is shown to mothers this morning. But one in particular stood out to me. Could you show the picture, please? And I want to honor, before we get started, the mother of this house. And I adore this picture, but this is the one that really just touched my heart. I want to read to you, and we do honor you wherever you are this morning, Ruth Hudson. I want to read to you Pastor Josh's comment. Ain't a woman alive who takes my mama's place. There's no way I could pay you back, but the plan is to show you that I understand. These are words from the great urban philosopher Tupac. Don't hold me for that. That's Josh. I said, if I get in trouble, I'm blaming it on Josh. I had to make sure I was pronouncing it right, you know. He said, do not mispronounce that. Tupac. Okay. I'm sorry. We'll continue. This is what he said. I look back and I think about the beginning, the very beginning, me laying on a table with little life. And according to the doctors, what should have been no hope. But you had hope. You said I would live and I would not die. You got to hear Ruth Hudson give that story. You will live and you will not die. When the doctor said that he would, she said, oh, you will live and you will not die. He said, as I grew up and I said, I wanted to pursue this or that like drums or basketball. And especially when I pursued my education in California, you said you'd do whatever you had to do to help me make it happen. I am the man that I am for a lot of reasons, but mainly because you raised me right. You taught me to live and not die, to love, to laugh, and that everything is earned and never given. And that everything is earned and never given. Here's to you, Mom. I love you. Thank you, Josh, for making all the ladies cry this morning. Isaiah 49:15 says this, can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? And it continues with God saying this, oh, I will not forget. When you consider a nursing child, it's almost like having another limb. You don't forget that you have hands. You don't forget that you have legs. It's like having another limb. He said, how could a nursing mother forget their child? This is what he's saying. As aware as you are of that nursing child, it pales in comparison to the attention that I have towards you. This is a limb that is on your body. And he said, as aware as you are, oh, it pales in comparison. We're talking about the love of Christ. The believer is to trust God as a weaned child. Trust his mother. That child knows where the provision is going to come from. Do you know? Psalm 131 describes a calm and quieted soul, comparing it to a weaned child with its mother. Gentle, proactive, and content. Peace and calm. I was recently listening to a sports talk show, and the host said, he was talking about young men after high school, going to college and going into professional sports, and he said this, and it has held on to my heart ever since. He said, these young men go away and they get into all sorts of things. Drugs, they get in the wrong crowd, they start acting crazy. And he said, all these young men have one thing in common. They have no father figure or no authority in their life. I would go a little further. They have no mother or they have no authority in their life. There's nobody to say, stop acting like that. Stop acting like that. There's nobody to bring them into alignment. And some of these young men have no mothers. Some of these young men have no fathers. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul tells the church at Corinth, I am your father. I am your father. He was there to correct, to scold, and to jack them up if he needed to. To scold, to correct, and jack them up if he needed to. There's a difference between a mentor and a spiritual parent. A mentor is your cheerleader. A spiritual parent is one that will bring you into alignment and say, don't you dare go there. Some of us in this room do not have mothers and fathers that would say, you better stop it. Some of us have mothers and fathers that have been cheerleaders. It's okay to go there this morning, right? Yeah. Paul is saying, I'm not going to be your tutor in Christ, but I will be your spiritual father. Oh, that's different. He said, I will bring correction into your life, and I will align you with God's plan. Do you have somebody in your life? I'm not talking about a pastor in a pulpit, because let me tell you, they don't know your life. Do you have somebody in your life that when you get off, you take your eyes off of the mark just a little bit and you find yourself over here? Is there anybody in your life? And it may not be your mother and it may not be your father, but is there anybody in your life that will go, stop it? Amen. Stop it. Because I see the plan for your life. Now you stop. Do we have people like that in our life? Love that guy. Do we have people in our life that we can open ourselves up to? Even the ugly stuff. Anybody else got any ugly stuff? I love people that raise their hands when I say the hard stuff. There's something about inauthenticity, authentic lifestyle, right? Something about being authentic. I want us to take a walk through the scriptures very quickly this morning. I want us to begin by looking at Naomi and Ruth. From Ruth chapters 2 and 3, and you can look at this a little bit later. But when Ruth's husband died, she decided to stay with her mother-in-law. Naomi. And to follow Naomi's way of life, even her faith. As Ruth, a Gentile, walked alongside, watch this, Naomi, she learned not only how to care for a family, not only how to walk through hardship, but she also taught her about God. When God brought Ruth a new husband, you see, she was prepared to meet the challenge of marriage in a culture that was different from her own. How did she know to do it? She would not have known without the investment that was poured into her life by her spiritual mother. And because of this investment, Ruth became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ as the great-grandmother of King David. Being a mother, watch this, is an attitude or a posture of the heart, has nothing to do with a biological relationship. It has everything to do with the posture and the attitude of your heart. It doesn't have to have anything to do with a biological relationship. There's hope in that this morning. And then there was Barnabas. Whew. You know what they call Barnabas? The encourager. I don't know about you, but when people walk away from me, I want them to feel better than when they met me. Because it's the fragrance of Jesus Christ in me that changes how you feel. Amen? Well, he was known as the encourager. He poured out his life into the Apostle Paul, as well as in John Mark. If you recall the story, John went on his first missionary journey of Barnabas and Mark, and he failed miserably. But Barnabas did not give up on him. He didn't give up on him. This is very important. The spiritual father did not and would not give up on him. So John Mark did not end a failure. Some of us this morning need somebody to not give up on us. Is it okay to say that some of our parents gave up? I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I'll talk about that in just a second. And how about Jesus? He took men from all walks of life. They were a mess, Kim. They were an absolute mess. And he took them and he used them to turn the world upside down. They were doubters. They had fear. They were grumpy. They were griping. And you know what? He looked right over those things. He said, I see what you can become. Some of us need life spoken back into us this morning. He said, oh, I see how my Father's going to use you to grow his church. He hung out with these guys. He spent time with them. He encouraged them and he prayed for them. I was moved by all the men that I've shared with you this morning on Mother's Day. Because God did not create men to be nurturers. That's our job. Yet I have shown you man after man after man. Some of them doing a way better job than we are, ladies. If you could ask Timothy this morning, who were the people that invested the most in your life? He would say, oh, that's my grandmother Lois. Oh, my mother Eunice. And then he would say, the Apostle Paul. You might not be surprised that he would say, my mother, my grandmother. But you might be surprised that he would include the Apostle Paul in that listing. You know, he was also surrounded by John Mark and Silas and Titus. Peter was teaching Timothy about faith and leadership. Paul wanted to see him succeed and to grow in the knowledge and the love of Christ. So let me tell you what he did. Timothy was shy. He was insecure. And Paul saw it. Paul entrusted his life into what he could see in Timothy. Could he see it in the natural? Absolutely not. But what he saw in the spiritual, he began to cultivate it. Sometimes we have to cultivate what we cannot see yet. There are five qualities in this relationship between them that I think are paramount this morning. And the first thing that happened, there's a spiritual kinship. Paul describes Timothy as his son. Did you hear me when I said he poured out his life into that young man? He gave everything he had to someone that was not his biological son. Oh, he called him his son. And then prayer. 2 Timothy 1:3 says this, night and day I constantly keep you in my prayers. This is not his biological son. Do we pray day and night for our biological children? Are you seeing the importance of what God is allowing? And then number three, a spiritual parent's desire to see their son and daughter succeed the call of God on their lives will cause you to open your mouth and speak boldly. Stop. And I mean it. I see that's going to hinder the call of God on your life, and you better stop. I'm going to leave that right there. Can you recognize Jesus in this relationship? When he had to say, don't be timid, Timothy. Be brave. Run the race. Finish well. Cheering him on. Number four is encouragement. Encourage and empower. Speak life over them and their circumstance. Ladies, he has given us a womb to produce life. I believe that that is a representation of life, period. It's not just physical life. He has given us the ability and I believe the assignment to speak life, to be life, and some to produce life. He created us differently. Are you encouraging those that he's placed in your path, your children or your spiritual children? And number five, reproduce and release. You teach, they watch. They teach, you watch. Release and then repeat. You don't just have one spiritual child. Come on. I believe that it all begins with choosing to give ourselves away, whether for our own children, our adopted children, our blended family children, or our spiritual children. He is saying, I've created you to give life. Period. Being a parent isn't just about bearing children. It's about bearing witness to the life of a child, to the life of another person, bearing witness to that life. When God spoke that to me, it buckled me. It's about acknowledging the life that I see in you. I was 7 years old and she was 82. There was a lot of violence in my home as a child. And there was a woman named Mrs. Glasgow, and she lived across the street. She was the piano player in the Baptist church. I had never been to church. Every day after school, I would show up at her house. I'd cross the street, and I would sit on that hard piano stool. And she would get out the red hymnal, if anybody knows what that is. I didn't know what it was. She would get out the red hymnal. And by the way, did I mention that she would always make me a snack? And I would eat my, I was a tiny little thing, and I would eat the snack, sit on that hard bench, and she would pound the ivories. And she would play, and she would sing. And I remember thinking, who is this Jesus? It would be on that hard piano stool that I would learn about life. I would learn about love, and I would learn about Jesus. You see, I'd still not been to church, but what I was gaining was an overflow of what was on the inside of her. Miss Glasgow had no children. Did I mention that? One day, I crossed the road on my bike. She was sitting in the breezeway. She said, hi. Hey. She said, you want to come in for cookies? Well, at that time, that was normal. Don't allow your kids to do that today. But at that time, that was normal. She had made the cookies, and so I said, yeah. And that's where it began. Every day until I was probably a sophomore in high school, I would go sit on that piano stool till I began dating Jay, and then I didn't have time. But I would sit on that piano stool and listen. And then there was another woman named Betty White. I didn't grow up in the church, but one day, a church bus drove up. It was a Saturday, and the guy came and knocked on the door, and he said to my mother, hey, we come right by here on Sundays. We'd love to pick your children up and bring them to school. And my mother said, oh, no, which church? Mm-mm-mm. It was Bethel Baptist Church. Thank you, Jay. Bethel Baptist Church. And then I said, no, I want to go. I want to go. And she said, well, okay, I'll let you go tomorrow. So the church bus came and picked me up. I was so excited. It was my first time. And I went all by myself. And there that bus pulls up, and I was ready. I'd been ready for hours. And that door opened up, and I run. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I was excited. And when I got off the church bus, there was a woman standing there. Her name was Betty White. She was about this tall. She had the brightest, shiniest red lipstick I ever saw. It's probably why I love it today. And I remember she smelled so good. She said, hey, now I know that the church set me up. She said, hey, honey, do you want to sit with me? Uh-huh. And it began right there. Every Sunday, I would get off that church bus. She didn't wait for me after that. I'd get off that church bus, and I'd run in the sanctuary. And there she would be. She had a daughter, but she always made room for me. I'd run into that sanctuary, and there was my chair. And I'd sit down, and she'd put her arm around me, and those shiny red lips, and that perfume, and she would give me double mint gum. Do you know what that is, guys? The worst gum on the planet. It was green. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I would chew it and act like it was the best thing I ever had. Because you see, I was a broken little girl. There was abuse in my home. I did not have what she was giving me. She created a safe place for this little girl. Many of you know that I buried my mother in February. And when Pastor Huey called me about today, I said, absolutely, because the Lord told me to say yes. And then I get off the phone and I had to weep because I'm like, whoo, God, I don't think I'm ready to talk about Mother's Day. So I'm at the wake. And I am trying to push. And I looked in the back of the room. And there stood Betty White. I had not seen her but twice since I was a little girl. And I saw her. She looked exactly like I remembered, just shorter. Same red, shiny lips. Y'all saw her. Same smell. And it wasn't her perfume this time. Are you hearing me? I left everybody and I run to where she was. I looked at her and I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're here. She said, where else would I be? Where else would I be? I said, you don't understand the impact you've made on my life. I have this book and I talk about you in the book. And she's like, what book? I thought she came because she knew I had talked about her. No, she didn't know any of that. She came because she saw in the paper that my mother passed. I said, you don't understand the impact you've made on my life. You don't understand how that horrible gum changed my life and your perfume and your lips, and you don't get it. Because of the seed you planted in my life, that broken little girl, God lets me talk to people about you. Millions. Her eyes got really big. She starts weeping. And she said, I had no idea. I had no idea. The fragrance of who He is in us and to us overflow through us without us even being aware. That is what happened that day. I didn't even notice her perfume. Because the aroma that was lingering was Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord placed these God-fearing women in my life to teach me how to love. You see, I learned how to love my husband, and I learned how to love my children because I watched Betty White love her family. I learned how to love Jesus because I saw Miss Glasgow weeping when she would sing about Jesus, who I had no understanding yet. But oh, how she trusted Him. As I was working on this message, I cried a lot this week. Mother's Day is very difficult for some of us. Really quick, show me. Is it difficult for you or easy for you? Raise your hand really quick and put it down. Really fast. Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I cried a lot this week. And you know what I decided? I decided that I was not going to wallow in it. I miss my mother like crazy. And I can't believe I'm having Mother's Day without her. But you know what I decided? I decided to take a look at her life and pick what I could grab to carry forward.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what it was. You ready? I'm standing at the wake. I know this is a very personal message, but it's who we are today. I'm standing at the wake, and this woman comes forward, and she said, I have been your mother's best friend for over 60 years. I know, Linda. I'm like, can you imagine having a best friend for 60 years that's not your spouse? Think about it. 60 years. And then the next woman came, and her name is Myrna, and she said, oh, you know, I'm your mother's best friend, and we have been for many years. And then there was Gunda. She said, you know, your mom and I have been best friends for at least 35 years. And then there was Carolyn, and she said, you know, your mom and I have been best friends for at least 20 years. Wait a minute. How can you have that many best friends? And all of a sudden, while I'm weeping about this message, this is what the Lord showed me. What I'm going to take is this. She loved so hard. She loved so deep that every person that she was in their midst thought they were her BFF. Did you hear me? She was the best listener I ever met. Everybody thought they were her best friend. And that's what I took from her. I have decided that is a trait that should go forward. When you speak to each other, when we listen to each other, we should be all in. Amen. Tasha, all in. Everything you say to me, I'm hearing you. I want you to feel like my best friend because I care about everything you say to me. Jesus does. Amen?
Amen.
Do I need to hurry? I don't even know what time it is. Angel, I can't see. Yes, I better hurry. Okay. When we purpose to nurture, to love, to raise, to train, and to teach others, we are fulfilling our role as mothers, just as God intended. We're entering the act of mothering. And this is what I want to tell you right now. We're entering the act of mothering, whether you have children or you don't. If you are fathers in this house, some of you are mothering because God has placed you in that position to mother, and it is okay. If Paul had not taken the time to invest in and to pray for and to take interest in young Timothy, do you think that he would have become the leader that history records? I think not. And what about the disciples? Do you believe that they would have been successful at turning the world upside down for Jesus had he not poured himself and gave it all away? And then Naomi and Ruth, she didn't have a clue what to do with her messed up self. But she submitted herself. I can almost see her laying her head in Naomi's lap. Help me. Would you help me? Some of us need a lap to put our head in this morning.
Amen.
Some of us aren't brave enough to say, can you help me? I need a mother. Can you help me? I'm sure thankful Ruth did that. George Washington said this, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. I attribute my success in life to her moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received. Abraham Lincoln said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. I remember her prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to my life. Conceiving and giving birth to a child brings about the title of a mother. But the act of mothering means to raise and to nurture. Some people birth but do not raise and nurture. It means entering to another person's life purposefully. I challenge you to rise to the occasion this morning. Rise to the occasion and tend to the ones that God has entrusted to you. Today, I celebrate the position that God has given you, ladies. It is a position and a call. I'm going to close with this final quote. Pastor Angela, can you help me? Was it the act of giving birth that made you a mother? Did you lose that label when you relinquished the child? Are you listening? Was it the act of giving birth that made you a mother? Did you lose that label when you relinquished your child? If people were measured by their deeds, on the one hand, we have a woman that chose to give up her child so the child could have a better life. And then on the other hand, we have a mother that listened to that child as she had boyfriend issues, that stayed up at night when she was sick and running fever, that cheered her on at her college graduation. He said, which acts made them more of a mother? Which of these two women are more of my mother? And he said, I celebrate and honor both my mothers. Amen? I pray that our lives as mothers be accepted as a calling rather than a duty. A calling from God rather than a duty.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.